I don't know if you watch the news. I watch the news occasionally. I like the last story, especially on CBS. I like the last story that they do. It's always some good news story, inspirational story. A few days ago, they had the story of Colin O'Brady. Does anyone know who Colin O'Brady is? Let me tell you. He did something that no one had ever done before. He was in a race. Two men left one edge of Antarctica, crossed over the South Pole, and went back to the other side of Antarctica. The first person ever to cross Antarctica, unaided, unassisted, without any vehicles. He beat the other man. I don't even know what the other man's name was. But there were two of them. They were competing. And Colin O'Brady won. But he waited for the other gentleman to finish so that they could fly out of Antarctica together. So that was something that was nice. But he recorded the entire adventure on Instagram. And this is from his final post. And it said, "I accomplished my goal. I became the first person in history to traverse the continent of Antarctica coast to coast, solo, unsupported, and unaided. While the last 32 hours were some of the most challenging hours of my life, they have quite honestly been some of the best moments I have ever experienced. I was locked in a deep flow state the entire time, equally focused on the end goal while allowing my mind to recount the profound lessons of this journey." Unquote. As we conclude this year and look forward to another, perhaps our thoughts are about New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals. And I think the words of O'Brady here can help us in thinking about the days ahead. But that's only because they echo the words of another great adventurer, the Apostle Paul, who shares his insight through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about what we ought to be doing. Now, this is not so much about making resolutions, about establishing goals, but more how we are to live in order that our goals and the goals that Christ has for us are accomplished. And if we look at this passage, we recognize that it comes in a larger context of Paul running a race. Paul engaged in an athletic endeavor, and he wants to finish. And how do we finish? How do we, when we establish a goal? I want to lose 30 pounds in 2019. Well, how do you start? Which is important, but how do you finish? Which is equally important. I want to read the Bible in a year, which, if I change the format slightly, if you want to read the Bible in a year, you can go through, there's the daily Bible reading, beginning in January. If you follow this, you will read the Bible in a year. Should take you about 15 minutes a day, maybe less, depending on your reading speed. And every Sunday there'll be some Psalms, and then it will be somewhat chronological, if you want to do that. Starting is good. Saying, okay, Tuesday, I'm going to hit the ground running. All the candy is out of my house. All the electronics are on the curb. I don't know what your resolution may be, but finishing is more important, and that's what Paul is talking about here. How does God desire for us to live? The first is, according to these verses, don't live in the past. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not yet consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Don't live in the past. Paul knew that he had not yet reached the finish line. Paul knew that he was in a race, in a test of endurance. He, as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, is currently, as he's writing this, in prison in Rome. Spent 2 years under house arrest, under imperial guard in Rome. And he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, to Lydia and her cohorts, and saying, I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet. I'm still mid-race. His efforts were not done. He still had a job to do. But he knew that with every excruciating step, with every effort that he expended, he was getting closer to his goal. I'm not finished, but I'm getting there. Paul was running to fulfill Christ's purpose in him. He was persisting and pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Literally, I'm pressing on. I'm persisting in what I'm doing so that I can enjoy what I have been taken hold of in Christ. This passive action. Something has taken hold of me. I have been taken captive by Christ. And that has changed my perspective, given me the ability to persist. And therefore, my past accomplishments, my training regimen, my ability to win races in the past don't matter as much as me continuing to race now. Sometimes we get caught up thinking about what we have done. But honestly, in the midst of competition, it doesn't matter what you have done. This afternoon, the Patriots are going to play a football game. And hopefully, they'll win that football game, get into the play. They're already in the playoffs, but get a better position in the playoffs, make it to the Super Bowl and win. Hopefully, none of them are thinking, you know what? We've gone to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. We won one and lost one, but we've made it to the Super Bowl. I assume, without much effort, that we'll make it to the Super Bowl again. Hopefully, they're not thinking that. They're not resting on their past accomplishments. They're saying, you know what? We're going to play this game because this is a different year and this is a different time. And this is a different effort. Got to forget our accomplishments because they don't sustain us in the effort we're currently in. Not that they're not important. Paul talks about over and over again in his letters all the things he used to be. He does not completely forget them. He uses them as an opportunity to improve his current circumstance. We also are not to keep thinking about our past failures. Well, we lost the Super Bowl last year, so we're probably going to lose again this year. May be true, may not be true. But what you did in the past doesn't disqualify you for what you may be able to do today. Oh, I failed that test. I might as well just give up. No, because today's a new day. Continually looking in the rearview mirror is a dangerous pursuit. I don't know if you've ever been, maybe it's just me, that you've ever been in front of a police car. And you notice in your rearview mirror that there's a police car behind you. And you're thinking to yourself, I have a good registration and I have no taillights out or anything. But who knows? I'm going to make sure that I'm going to check and see what happens to this police car that's behind me. So I'm constantly in the rearview mirror thinking, what's behind me? And not paying attention to what's in front of you. And perhaps you're driving a little more recklessly than you ought because you're so focused on what's behind that you're not actually concentrating on what's ahead. Looking in our rearview mirror impedes our progress. It will feed our pride and dismantle us. It will increase our regret and destroy us. Either way you look at it, celebrating our past successes or regretting our past mistakes, looking back is no way to get ahead. We have to be willing to forget what we have been through while we are going through what we are enduring. But where should we look? If we can't look back at our past successes, if we can't look back at our past failures, where ought we to be looking? We ought to be living. Our second point is living for the future. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on or persevere toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Literally, it says, I press on toward the prize of the heavenward calling that God has given me in Christ Jesus. That God has a plan. God has a calling for us. God desires that we be with Him. We look toward the horizon. We strain towards what is ahead. We press on toward the goal of that eternal life in Christ. That sharing of the gospel, that hope that we have that comes from God Himself in Christ Jesus. And our prize is not an earthly prize. Our prize is a heavenly prize. Our heavenward calling. The runner continues because he knows that there is a finish line. It would be foolishness to run a race and have someone say, you know what? We're just going to run until we are all agreed that we've run far enough. That would be foolishness. How would you know what pace you should set? How would you know what time you should have? Oftentimes, people will run and they'll run fast at the beginning. And then they'll have no energy in the end. But it's when people know where the end is that we're able to capitalize on our strengths. But the thing is, for the most of the race, the runner cannot see the finish line. They just know that it's there. They focus on the finish. They don't focus on their split times. They don't focus on, I ran the first mile faster than anyone else. And honestly, we know how the story ends. Christ returns to be with us and for us to be with Him. Christ will take us to the place where He has prepared for us and for all those who call on His name. We know how it ends. And between here and there, are going to be some difficult hills and valleys and peaks. There's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be rain and there's going to be sunshine. There's going to be all sorts of things. But we know. One of the things that we were talking about in Sunday school this morning was stealing tomorrow's joy in order to sustain us today. We know the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We know the joy of our reunion with Christ. So why not take a little bit of that, that we're going to enjoy in limitless quantity, and enjoy it now? Especially on those dark and somber days, why not take a little bit of that joy that is in store for us now? Steal a little bit of it from tomorrow so that we can be sustained today. No matter what course our lives take, there are times when we will want to give up, when we will want to stop, when we will want to fall, when we will want to say enough. And at those times, we need to remember who is waiting for us at the finish line. And it's Jesus. In the race of life, we must focus on Christ. But is that enough? Are we simply to run the race, making sure we cross the finish line, making sure we make it to Jesus? Isn't there more to life than simply getting to the finish line? Doesn't it matter how we run? And that's the question that Paul addresses in these final two verses, 15 and 16. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some thing you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. We need to live up to our present. Live up to the present. That's our third point. Back. There you go. All who are mature should take this view. Now, this is sort of like the emperor without the emperor's new clothes. I want to say that I'm mature. So I'm going to take that view. That's really not what's being said here. The more that you think about it, the more that you understand the scriptures, the more that you spend time with Jesus, the more complete you become. And that's really what this word mature means. The ones who are finished, complete, have this view. That we must forget the past and focus on Christ. And if you don't yet think that way, then ask God for wisdom, and He will give you what you need. We should live up to what we are, to what we have become. That we are running a race of faith, and that how we run is important. We need to stay on course, remembering the words of James, for example, James 1, 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can become mature and complete, not lacking anything. How we endure makes a difference. How we advance makes a difference. Paul is saying, finish the race, but finish it in a godly way. Finish it in a righteous way. Finish it in a mature way. Earlier this year, there was a freestyle skier named David Wise. David Wise, 4 years earlier, had won the Olympic gold medal in freestyle skiing half pipe, which means it's like they cut a giant sewer pipe in half. Huge, massive, 40-foot walls in this pipe. It's like a giant U. And you ski down it and go up and down and jump and twirl and all that. And David Wise was probably the greatest freestyle skier in halfpipe ever. And he made it to the finals. And the finals consist of 3 runs down the pipe. Whoever has the highest score of any one of those runs wins. Well, in the first run, David Wise loses a ski and can't compete. It's disqualified. No points. Changes his skis, changes his bindings, changes his boots, as is always the case for him. Goes down a second time. Loses another ski. Disqualified. No points. Gold medalist, last place. Third run. Third pair of skis. Third bindings. Tightens them as tight as he can get them with a certain sense that these are going to stand or break, but nothing more you can do. And has what some experts have said was the greatest skiing run ever. Nearly a perfect score. Wins the gold medal. And you got to think, and I heard an interview of him, he never once thought, this is going to happen a third time. He always thought, what are the chances that this is going to happen a second time? Very low. And then the third time he said, there is no chance ever that this is going to happen a third time. Because in all the years that I've been skiing, and I've been skiing for close to 20 years, it's never happened twice, let alone 3 times. And so he was confident that it was not going to happen a third time. And it didn't. He won the gold medal. And it makes me wonder, are we as confident in our abilities as David Wise was? He knew what he was capable of doing, and he did it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is challenging us to do this morning as well. Do what you have already become. Our sermon in a sentence is this: the life of faith involves forgetting our past, focusing on Christ, and forging ahead. Paul lived a life marked by joy because he was committed to moving forward past the troubles and trophies of his past, to looking forward with hope of heaven, and to pressing forward to reach the godly goal established for him in Christ. And my prayer is that we would have the same attitude that Paul had as we enter 2019. Maybe that will involve laying aside our treasures or our troubles of the past and trying something new. Maybe it will involve developing a discipline like prayer or Bible reading to assist us in our perseverance. But we mustn't stop striving to reach the prize of our heavenward calling. We must always live up to what we are in Christ. We must continue to toil until the race is done. The life of faith involves forgetting the past, focusing on Christ, and forging ahead. And so as you think about the new year, as you think about your resolutions, I hope that you will consider these wise words of Paul. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for